प्रसाद लेश अनुग्रहते वही जानाति तत्वम भगवान महिमना। माय डियर लॉर्ड, योर ग्लोरीज, योर तत्व इज ओनली नोन टू वन हु हैज रिसीव्ड अ ड्रॉप ऑफ योर मर्सी। वन हू रिसीव्स द मर्सी ऑफ द लॉर्ड थ्रू हिज डिवोटीज, ओनली ही कैन अंडरस्टैंड द लॉर्ड। नॉट बाय स्कॉलरशिप, नॉट बाय austerity, not by penance or by taking sannyas, can one understand the glories of the Lord. But simply, if one pleases Krishna by becoming humble like a blade of grass, then that person can understand something about Krishna to the degree the Lord reveals himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with Murari Gupta. And after being pleased, he was also angry at the Mayavadis again. He said, there are some people who say that I have no hands, feet, face or eyes. Even the Vedas, certain section of the Vedas, they speak like that. In Varanasi, there is one person named Prakashanandi Saraswati. And he always speaks like that about me. By saying this, he is actually breaking me into pieces, the limbs of my body. He teaches the Vedas, but he does not know that I have a transcendental body. My limbs are completely pure. They contain all the yajnas within them. Even Brahma, Shiva and all the demigods, they also sing the glories of my transcendental form. The touch of my limbs makes everything pure and sacred. Like we sing sometimes, Om Pavitro Pavitro Va Sarvan Vastan Gatopi Va Yasmaret Pundarikaksham Sabaya Bhayantara Shuchi. That the Lord is so pure, what to speak of touching the Lord? Simply by remembering the Lord, one becomes completely pure. That's why one should always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because by keeping the name of the Lord on your tongue, one becomes completely purified. Aghasur was so sinful. He was actually brother of Putana. And he was thinking that I will kill all the friends of Krishna and then Krishna also. And then all the friends entered into the body of Aghasur, thinking him to be a nice cave. They were playing inside and then Krishna also entered. But finally, when Krishna killed him, he became purified. And he attained the mercy of the Lord. Similarly, we may have mentality like Aghasur, because we are all, in this material world, we are conditioned. But just like Aghasur became purified because the Lord came and entered his tongue, his mouth. So if we always keep the name of Hari on our tongue, we will always be pure. We will be free from the contamination of this world. So we should always chant, Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told a story to Murari Gupta. He said that anybody who offends my devotee or who misbehaves, I am very impartial. Even if my own son commits an offense, I will punish him. And in this respect, he told that when I appeared as Varahadev, through my association with Mother Earth, a son was born, whose name was Bhoma. Bhoma. Later on he became Bhoma Asura. His Asura came afterward, because he associated with Banasura. You become like what you associate with. So his name was Bhoma, or he was also called Naraka, and he became Naraka Asura. So Mahaprabhu is saying that I personally taught my son religion. I personally taught him how to respect Brahmins, how to respect Guru and devotees, Vaishnavas. Still, because of bad association with Banasur, he became a demon. This is the extent to which bad association can influence a person's mentality. Even if you are the son of Lord Krishna personally. That's why it is said, Asat Sangha Tyag E Vaishnavachar. Mahaprabhu gave one definition that Vaishnava behavior means to give up the association of non-devotees. So Mahaprabhu is telling this story that I will not tolerate an attack on my servants. Even if it is my own son, if he is offending my devotees, I will cut him into pieces. So all of you know this story of how later on Lord Krishna, he went personally riding on the Garuda to kill this Asur, Bhomasura, just because he was offending Krishna's devotee. There is also a very nice description of the mercy shown to Murari Gupta during the Mahaprakash Leela. As you all know, during Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sitting on the asana of Vishnu, the throne of Vishnu, he was accepting offerings from all devotees, and he was calling devotees one by one and fulfilling their desires. He was showing them their previous forms and giving them his mercy, fulfilling their desire. Suddenly, during his Mahaprakash Leela, he called out for Murari. And when Murari Gupta came, Mahaprabhu said, "Murari, look at my form." And when Murari beheld the beautiful form of the Lord, it had turned into the form of Lord Ramchandra. It was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had appeared in the form of Ramchandra. His complexion was like green, like that of a durva grass. And he had a bow in his hand, and he was sitting in a virasan posture. He saw that to the left and right of Lord Ramchandra were Mother Sita and Lakshman. From the four directions, the king of monkeys, they were offering prayers. And seeing, he saw himself, he had a tail. He was also in a monkey form. And he became unconscious to see himself in this form. Then he got up, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Hey monkey, have you forgotten that you are the one who went to find out about Sita, and you are the one who set fire to Lanka? I am that same Ram. Now I give you all the power to remember this pastime. Please get up, Murari. You are my life. I am Ramchandra, and you are Hanuman." Shri Hanuman ji ki jai. And then he looked at Lakshman and said, "Look here, this is Lakshman, who is like your life and soul. You saved the life of Lakshman by bringing the medicine from Gandhamadan mountain. Yesterday we heard from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in that pastime where Nityananda Prabhu was playing that role of Lakshman. You are the one who brought this. Now, oh Hanuman, please bow down before Mother Sita. Seeing her torment, seeing her misery in Lanka, you wept a shoreless ocean of tears." With these words of Lord Chaitanya, Murari Gupta came back to consciousness, and everybody was weeping, everybody was crying, "Jai, Jai." Because when one devotee receives mercy, all the devotees feel great pleasure. By hearing Murari Gupta's stories, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, "Even dry sticks weep." Our heart is so good that it doesn't weep. We should feel ourselves like this. Like there's a very nice song by one of the acharyas where he says that my heart, instead of the heart, there is a stone here. That's why it doesn't weep. Vasudev Ghoshi prays like that. That my heart is stone-like. Even though I hear Mahaprabhu's pastime, I hear Mahaprabhu's name, still it does not melt. But if you go to many places in Vrindavan, like Kamyavan, there is one place called Charan Pahadi, where by the flute of Lord Krishna, even the mountain melted, even the stones melted. There is a footprint of Lord Krishna there. So we should simply be praying to Lord Krishna, "Lord Mahaprabhu, please melt my heart. Please make me pure. Please make me eager to hear your glories. Give me the benediction that I may always remember your lotus feet. I may never forget you, never offend Vaishnavas. Constantly chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Then Mahaprabhu, when he saw Murari Gupta weeping, he said, "Murari, get up and please ask for any boon." Because Murari Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving benediction to all devotees. And Murari Gupta, he got up and said, "My dear Lord, I do not want anything." Devotees, they don't want anything. Actually, when devotees say they don't want anything, they are very intelligent. Because by saying like this, they get Krishna. They get everything. If I want anything, then I don't get Krishna. But if I get Krishna, I get anything and everything. So devotee prays like Murari Gupta, that "I do not want anything. I am just happy. Give me just one benediction that I may always sing your glories. I may always sing your glories. Please, please give me one benediction. Give me birth wherever you like. Wherever you like. But not in a place where I forget you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also prays like that. Kita janma ho yatha tuva das bahir mukha brahma janma naika. Doesn't matter even if I get the birth of a worm, as long as I have some association of devotees. But even if I become Lord Brahma without proper association, then I do not want such birth. Tandera charana sei bhakta sanivas janame janame prabhu ehi abhilash. Narottam Das Thakur prays like that, that my dear Lord, give me the association of devotees. I want to sing your glories, chant your name in the association of devotees. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. My dear Lord, give me the opportunity to live among devotees. And which kind of devotees? I want association with those devotees who know that you are the master and they are the servants. They are your servants. You are my master, I am your servant, and it is not otherwise. Please make these words true. I was listening one lecture of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada explains that if somebody just understands that Krishna is great and I am his servant, he is a very advanced devotee. Prabhupada says like that. If you just understand, we know just intellectually, but if we have this realization that I am just a servant of Krishna, Krishna is all in all, that means one is very advanced, just to understand this. And Murari Gupta is saying like this, that my dear Lord, I just want this benediction to be with those devotees who know that you are the Lord and they are the servants. And give me one more benediction, that whenever and wherever you descend to this world, whenever you take avatar along with your devotees, please allow me also to come with you and be your servant. And Mahaprabhu became very pleased. He said, good, good, I give you this benediction. And the devotees were very happy. They cried out, Jai, Jai,
Jai, Jai.
Hari, Hari,
Hari.
All the Vaishnavas, they loved Murari so much. It is said that Murari Gupta was real to all the devotees. In fact, in Jagannath Puri, this is not explained in this book, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's explained that when Murari Gupta was so humble, Murari Gupta and Haridas Thakur, when all the devotees would come to visit the Lord from Navadvip to Puri, Murari Gupta would sometimes be offering obeisances from a great distance. He would be in the... All the devotees would come to Atharnala. You've seen that place where Mahaprabhu would meet all the devotees. He would garland them and give them chandan. But Murari Gupta, he would be at a great distance, just offering obeisance. Mahaprabhu would go and embrace him. So that was his humble nature. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says that wherever Murari Gupta goes, that place becomes a holy place. It becomes Sri Vaikuntha. Tomara Hriday Sada Govinda Vishram. Govinda Kohena Mura Vaishnava Paran. Because the Lord is within the heart of his devotee, wherever the devotee goes, that place becomes a holy place. In one nice song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that where the pure devotees are residing, that place is Vrindavan. And any hill near there is Govardhan. Any river near there is Yamuna. Like Radha Gopinath Mandir, Maharaj and many devotees residing. So that ocean is as good as Jagannath Puri ocean. Because pure Vaishnavas are there. And any mountain nearby is Govardhan. So one should have that vision. That wherever Sri Guru's lotus feet are there, that is the supreme holy places. All the holy places are manifesting there. Who has the power to describe the glories of Murari Gupta? Every time the Lord comes, Murari Gupta comes with him to assist him in his pastimes. And then Mahaprabhu declared to everybody. He said, everybody, please listen, Mahaprabhu said. Whoever criticizes Murari will not be purified, even if he takes bath millions of times in Mother Ganga. Neither the Ganga nor the holy name of Hari will remove his sin. It's like it is said again, Hari sthane aparade tare Hari naam, toma sthane aparade nahi paritran. If you offend Krishna, then by chanting the name of Krishna you can be forgiven. But if you offend his devotee, then you cannot be forgiven until you beg forgiveness from that devotee. Then Mahaprabhu declared, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is named Murari, that is one of the names of Lord Krishna, secretly also means Gupta, Sanskrit word. Gupta. Secretly, the Supreme Lord Murari is residing in his heart. Therefore, his name is Murari Gupta. A supremely appropriate name. And when the devotees saw how Mahaprabhu was glorifying his pure devotee, they called, cried out, Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna,
Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
Please say loudly. Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he gives the benediction. Anybody who hears how Lord Chaitanya gave mercy to Murari Gupta will attain pure love and devotion to the Lord. The 2-3 times benediction. So even if you are awake for one part, still you get the result. At least one part. There is also one story in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the glories of Murari Gupta, of how once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to test the faithfulness of Murari Gupta to his Ishtadev, Lord Sri Ramchandra. So Murari Gupta, when he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu told him, Murari, you should worship Krishna. Krishna is Asaraj, he is a reservoir of all mellows, he is a source of incarnations. Should worship Krishna. So on the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Murari went back home and whole night he was weeping, he was crying and he could not. Next day morning he came offering obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and said, my dear Lord, please, please give me permission to end my life. The Lord asked him why. And Murari Gupta explained that you have asked me to give up the lotus feet of Lord Ram and worship Krishna. I have sold my head at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra and I cannot give up. I cannot give up. And I cannot disobey you because you are my Lord. So please give me permission to commit suicide. Mahaprabhu was so happy. He said, Sadhu, Sadhu. He said, Sadhu Tomara Sobhav. This is your very good nature. This shows your real love for Lord Ramchandra. He embraced him and told him that Dhanya, wonderful is that servant who never gives up his master, and wonderful is the master who never gives up the servant. Even if the servant falls down and the master picks him up by the hair and brings him back. That's why we have Shikhas. The Guru and Vaishnavas can pull us back. There's a story in Mahaprabhu's Leela, how Kala Krishna Das, although he fell down, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him. But later on, the devotees, somehow they pulled him back and kept him in the association of devotees. There's also another devotee like this, Anupam, the brother of Rupa and Sanatan. One day Rupa and Sanatan were preaching to him like that, Anupam, you should worship Krishna. And he was also a devotee of Lord Ramchandra. Actually, before I go to that, there's one more point. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally wrote on the forehead of Murari Gupta the name Ram Das, that is an eternal servitor of Lord Ramchandra. So, Anupam was also in this way tested by Rupa and Sanatan, his brothers. And when they told him, he went back and after some time he came back and said, I cannot give up the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra. And Rupa and Sanatan were very happy to see this, how he was so much loyal to Lord Ramchandra. A devotee is, by his constitutional position, attached to a particular form of the Lord, and he wants to serve the Lord in that form and that form only. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to serve the Lord in the form of Narsingadev. Similarly, Murari Gupta wanted to serve the Lord in the form of Ramachandra. He assisted the Lord in the pastimes with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, but he never forgot the lotus feet of his Lord in the form of Ramachandra. Since there is little more time, I would like to tell you some things which one day when we had gone to the Chaitanya Mart at the place of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Some of his instructions I would like to tell now. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he would always say that one should remember these two things, death and the name of Hari. Death and the name of Hari. Even if you forget all lectures, no problem. You just remember that death is come anytime and the name of Hari. Always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Today is 1st January 2004. So, devotee, we make many resolutions. But one of the resolutions is to always think that today is my last day. It's very good if you think like that. We don't want it to be like that, but we should think like that. We should always think that today is the last day of my life. In one lecture, I was hearing from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was saying that if one wants to make fast spiritual progress, we all want to make fast progress, right? That's why we come to this yatras. We don't want to go snail speed. We want to fly, if possible, to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada explains, if you want to make fast progress, then one should always remember that death is approaching me. I'm just about to die. That does not make a devotee morose. He becomes happy because he knows that death is coming. At the time of death, I'll remember Krishna and I'll go back to Krishna. And if Krishna wants me to take another birth, no problem. I will take birth in a place where I have association of devotees, where I can come for more yatras, and I can always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Another teaching of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was his great emphasis on preaching. He would say that one should preach the glories of Mahaprabhu very boldly. He would say, Pranache Jara Karah Prachar. That one who has life, he should preach. A dead man cannot preach. So devotees who have this life, the life of Sankirtan, the life of the holy name, they should preach because that's what pleases the Supreme Lord. He explains that a sycophant cannot be a preacher. A sycophant means somebody who is just trying to just get the praise of others, just to get cheap followers. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would say, no, that person cannot be a preacher. In fact, one place, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was invited by one very prominent person, very far away from here. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur went, crossing the river and then walking for several miles. And when he went to that place, that person had invited him for prasad. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, first I would like to preach something, tell something about the glories of Krishna. So he was told, no, you have to take prasad here. No time for glorification. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur decided not to accept anything. He walked back long distance, crossed the river, came back in the middle of the night, and then he took some prasad here. Sometimes we are eager for the other thing, for the prasad. But Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he emphasized that there should be glorification, kirtan. He also emphasized book distribution. He would say that this printing press is Brihad Mridanga. This is a Brihad Mridanga because the mridangas, like the normal mridangas, you can hear a voice for maybe a few hundred meters maximum. But this mridanga of the transcendental book distribution, that can be heard across continents. That's why if you see in the Gandharvika Giridhari temple in Chaitanya Math, he would have this mridanga worshipped. Yeah. He would say that this printing press is also a worshipable place because here transcendental sound vibration is being preached. He would be very, very much enthusiastic that devotees go out and distribute books. In fact, in one instance, there was one brahmachari who was fasting on Ekadashi, Nirjal, and because he was fasting, he could not go out for distributing books. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur came and said, why are you not going? He said, I have no strength because I am doing Nirjal, I am not eating. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, no, better you eat and go. We are not a fasting mission, we are a preaching mission. So, that is more important, more pleasing to the Supreme Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he was a fearless preacher. Mayavadis would run away when they would see him. He was so powerful preacher. And at the same time, he had a very loving and gentle heart. Always very loving, always very kind. So all of you know, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj explained in one Sunday lecture just before this yatra, he was explaining the disappearance day, disappearance day of Bhaktivedanta Thakur. So many pastimes, how he would be very loving. One person who donated the temple in Bagh Bazar, how he was so much indebted to him. The nature of a sadhu is not, he was very strict, but at the same time he was very loving. He was so strict that even if women wanted to meet him, one of his young disciples, lady disciple, wanted to come and meet him. He said, yes, you can meet me. He said, no, I want to meet in separately, private place. No, you cannot meet me in private place. Although this, she was probably of the age of his daughter or granddaughter, but still Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur, he was wanted to maintain the highest principles of behavior, Vaishnava etiquette of a sannyasi, brahmachari. He was very strong. He was very much against charlatan preachers or dhongis, hypocrites. He was very much against them. And he would expose them. Once he went to Radhakund and he had parikrama, and he said, after this whole parikrama, he said, I could not meet even one true devotee of the Lord. So he was so much, he could see at his level, he could see who was who. And he was very firm. By the same time, he was very respectful to the genuine Vaishnavas, like his own spiritual master, Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Sometimes, when Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, when Bhaktivedanta Thakur would be preaching boldly, Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj would be sitting behind and listening. And then he would be smiling and saying, so nice, my Prabhu is preaching very nicely. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj would think that he is my Prabhu. And Bhaktivedanta Thakur, he would always, anybody would offer respects to him, he would reply by saying, Dasosmi, I am your servant. He would bow down. That Radhanath Swami Maharaj explained so beautifully in that lecture on Sunday, all of you remember, that how Bhaktivedanta Thakur, when he sent his preachers abroad for preaching, he did not tell them which verses to tell and what is the style of preaching and so on. These things can be figured out. That's not so difficult. But he emphasized on Trinada Pisunichena, Tarorapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. He was emphasizing this point that you cannot change people's heart until you think that you are servant of those whom you are preaching to. You have to think like that. That is true preacher, a servant preacher. Vaishnava is always servant. Because who am I? I am simply a carrier, a peon. Prabhupada would say it of himself, I am a peon. Like a peon brings a message, he brings a check of $100 as it is. So the true preacher is simply a peon carrying the mercy of his spiritual master and all the previous acharyas. That is the secret. That is what makes the preacher successful. As soon as the preacher thinks that I am great, I deserve any credit, even 1%. My Guru Maharaj is great, 99%, but 1% I am also there. So then you fall down. Then you don't become transparent. Transparency means all mercy, all credit goes to Guru, and all mercy comes from Guru to the audience, to those. And all what respect you get goes up. This way you are simply watching things going on. Never claiming credit. In one very nice, when his Vyas Puja was being celebrated, he was being glorified. And then he, out of humility, he spoke that all of you are glorifying, but who am I? I feel like a dog sitting on this throne. I am very unqualified. I am simply a servant. I'm just simply doing this to teach how you should respect the parampara, how you should respect the Supreme Lord. Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur wrote commentaries on Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. He was very learned, Sanskrit, Bengali. When he was 7 years old, he could speak on any verse of Bhagavad Gita. He had 700 verses memorized. And he could speak on any verse when he was 7 years old. It may take us 7 years to hear few, to listen, to memorize few verses. He was so powerful. Yet he was so humble. When a person has knowledge and he is humble, then he becomes truly very much influential and also very dear to the Lord. Bhaktivedanta Thakur, he would travel fearlessly all over India. If you go to South India, Vijayawada, Mangalgiri, Tirupati, Kurumachetra, everywhere he established footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one of his South Yatras. He was traveling in train with his disciples and everywhere he established the places. Once he went to a place in Alalanath, Some of you have been to Alalanath near Jagannath Puri, and suddenly he just disappeared. And the devotees were thinking maybe he has gone, you know, for a toilet, something like that, they didn't know. And then he came back, he was in ecstasy. He made them understand that this is Vrindavan. And actually the deity, that Alalanath, that big temple, where the big deity is there, there's a small deity also in the temple. And just the day before Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur came, the pujari had a dream that tomorrow a great Mahabhagavat will be coming and you should give this deity for him to worship. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur established a Gaudiya Math there. It's called Gopi Gopinath Gaudiya Math. Gopi is Radharani, Gopi Gopinath, very beautiful deities. He was a perfect example of one who is fearlessly preaching, humble, gentle, at the same time firm in whatever he spoke, and also living up to what he said. Like in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is discussion between Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur. And Sanatan Goswami glorifies Haridas Thakur that some preach very nicely, but they don't behave nicely. And some behave very nicely, but they don't preach. But you preach nicely and you also behave nicely. Therefore, you are worshipable by all. You are Jagat Guru. Similarly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also. Not only did he preach very boldly, but he actually behaved in an exemplary manner. And he set the standard for all of us, his grand disciples, grand disciples, and all the future generations to come, of how one should be firm in giving the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and following it himself. He also wrote one very beautiful book called Upadesh Upakhyan, where he would illustrate through stories of how the Vaishnava Siddhanta is, through simple stories. He was a great lover of art and poetry also. And also in many places, if you go to Kurukshetra, you will see there is one place called Radha Krishna Milan Mandir, one Gaudiya Math established by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And there he had a diorama of the different pastimes of Krishna and the different avatars. He would encourage, he would say that this is also a very good way of preaching. So in this Upadesh Upakhyan, through simple stories, he would illustrate the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And try to tell one or two stories. In one story he explains that there was a person who had a boil or some pus in his body, and it was paining, it was burning very badly. And he went to one person for help, and that person said, "Oh, it's paining, oh, it's painful." So he just blew some air over it, you know, like this, so that he would feel some relief, and said, "Okay, this is all what I can do." Then he went to another person, and he says, "Oh, no problem, simple, you have this problem of this diseased hand, simple medicine is that you should simply take some poison and die, because then you will not have any pain." Very simple. It didn't sound simple to him, so he went to the third person. The third person took him to an expert physician, a surgeon, and this surgeon he analyzed and he did the necessary operation and cured him. So this story, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains that we are all suffering from this disease of material existence. All the sufferings in this material world are because of the fact that we have forgotten our relationship with Krishna. So when the miseries are there in this world, and when we go, the materialistic people, they give the solution of simply blowing air over it. It's just like stopgap arrangements, just to give temporary relief for some time. Our relatives, friends, and anybody who is not Krishna conscious, they suggest temporary remedies. The second person who was suggesting to die are like the Buddhist. The Buddhist, they claim that you become shunya, nirvana. So, no more misery. You lose existence. It's like spiritual suicide. And the third person represents the Vaishnavas. The Sri Guru or the Vaishnavas, they are like expert surgeon. They know that the cause of the suffering is forgetful of relationship with Krishna. So they are like expert surgeon. Of course, you have to surrender to the surgeon. Sometimes he may take the knife and it may be painful, that operation itself. The words of the spiritual master, they are like the knife, the surgeon's knife, which cure that disease. And the medicine is the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Medicine should be taken all the time. 16 times a day, that prescription is only minimum. Of course, in material world, if you take the medicine more than prescribed, then you may have bad reaction. But in spiritual logic, there is no harm if you take extra doses. If you always chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains in one another story. He says that there was once a teacher who was employed as a tuition teacher. Tuition teacher. He was teaching student simple geometry, mathematics. His parents had employed this tuition teacher to teach their son. And they were in the neighboring room as this teacher was teaching. So he was explaining A, B, C. These are triangle. A, B, C. D, E, F. Another triangle like that. All of you know, you must have studied, still remember. Equilateral triangle or whatever. So he was explaining like this, and every day he was talking like that, A, B, C, D, E, F, different triangles, different. And the parents, they were thinking, what's going on? After a month, they told the teacher, we don't want you. Our child is grown up. He is many, many years back, he studied A, B, C. You are still teaching him A, B, C. So they said, we don't want to learn from this teacher. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, in the explanation to this story, that people, they don't understand that people may be talking about the same names, but actually the Vaishnavas have a higher understanding of the same words. Even the Mayavadis, they may also use the word, Jiva, Bhagavan, Bhakti also sometimes they use, but they have no understanding. They say Brahma, like in Bombay, there's one very famous mission all over India. He would say that everything is Brahma, Brahma. He would say that he had a glass whiskey, that is Brahma, I am Brahma, and Brahma is merged into Brahma. Like that, That is their Brahma. That's the illusion. Brahma, Brahma. One doesn't understand the truth like this. So although the words, we also accept Brahma. Yes, Aham Brahmasmi. We also say Aham Brahmasmi. They also say Aham Brahmasmi. But the meaning is different. They say Aham Brahmasmi means I am God. We say Aham Brahmasmi means I am a servant of God. I am Brahman, means I am of the quality of God, but not equal to God. Another story Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains is something like the same tuition teacher. One tuition teacher, he would come every day to his student and he would give him some problems to solve. Like, you have problems like arithmetic problems, 6.2, 6.1, like that, problems to solve. And every day he would solve the problems and he would show it to the teacher. And 1 month passed, 2 months passed, and then he went to his parents and said, what's going on? This teacher is coming with problems and I am solving it and you are paying him. I am solving the problem for the teacher, and how is that you are paying him? I don't want such teacher. So this example Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains is that sometimes the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas, they may be telling us to do some devotional service, and sometimes the devotee may think, what is this? The Guru is giving me service, I am doing the service, and then I have to thank him. I am doing the service. I should get the credit. But actually, just like the teacher is giving the problems to solve, but his purpose is simply to teach so that the student learns as he solves the problems. Similarly, whatever service is given by the mercy of Sri Guru, that is for our purification. One should never think that it is a burden or it is something which I am doing a favor to the spiritual master. There is also a very famous story where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explains there is one person who did not know so much English, but he wanted to show that he knows English. So he was actually caught. He was caught, although there was no fault of his, but for some mistake or some reason he was caught and he was brought before the judge. This was during the British regime, and he went to the court, and then he was thinking, the judge asked him that, did you do this murder? Did you murder? Just thinking, if I answer in English, then maybe I'll be set free. He knew only few words. So the first word he knew was yes. Did you do the murder? Yes. Was there anybody else with you? No. Now you'll be sentenced to death. Very good. This was all what he knew. Yes, no, and very good. So Bhaktivedanta Thakur explains that this half knowledge is very dangerous. Half knowledge. You know, sometimes we may claim that I know something, but if one does not understand the real purport, then that can be dangerous also. Just like if a doctor doesn't know completely, but he knows half, it can be very dangerous. So we have to be very careful about Vaishnava Siddhanta. I would like to conclude by one very beautiful prayers. If you remember, the other day we were in Katwa, the place of Madhai, Madhai Tala. And Srila Radhana Swami Maharaj explained very nicely how Madhai, after his transformation, he became a Vaishnav. He was chanting 2 lakh names every day. He would take bath in Ganga every day. And he would go to Lord Nityananda Prabhu and beg forgiveness. There's a very beautiful prayer, and I will just repeat that prayer, because simply by hearing that prayer one becomes purified. This is when Madhai is approaching Lord Nityananda Prabhu and he is praying, "My dear Lord Nityananda, your body is transcendental. I made blood flow from your body. I am a sinner. Please forgive me. As Lord Vishnu protects the world, similarly in the form of Ananta Shesha, you hold the worlds on your hoods. Your transcendental form is devotional service personified. Shiva and Parvati are always meditating on your lotus feet. O Lord Nityananda, devotional service is your property and you give devotional service to everybody. Nobody is more dear to Lord Chaitanya than you. By your mercy, Garuda carries Krishna in his pastimes. With your countless mouth, you are always praising Krishna's virtues, always chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You are teaching devotional service, that is the best of all spiritual activities. Narada Muni on his Veena is always singing your glories. Lord Chaitanya is your great treasure. It was you in the form of Balaram who divided the Jamuna into hundreds of streams when she did not agree to come before you. By serving you, King Janak attained transcendental knowledge. You are the Supreme Lord. All the truths of religion are resting within you. The Vedas glorify you as Adidev, the first Lord. O Lord Nityananda, you are the father of all universes. You are the master of yoga. You are the great bowman Lakshman. You crush the atheist. You are the great teacher who enjoys transcendental mellows. You know everything about the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. Even Mahamaya Durga worships you, serves you, and that's why she is worshipped in this world. The countless universes seek the shadow of your feet. You are the greatest devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and you are devotional service personified. You have all of Lord Chaitanya's power. You are Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bed, you are his couch, you are his parasol, you are his throne, you are his paraphernalia, and ultimately you are the treasure of his life. You are not different from Lord Chaitanya. You are not different from Lord Krishna. You kill all the atheists. You are all of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation. Please have mercy on me, O Lord Nityananda. You protect the Vaishnavas. You teach devotional service. By your mercy, Brahma creates the universe. Revati, Varuni and Kanti, they are all serving you. By your anger, Maharudra is born. And then the world is annihilated. You do everything, but you do nothing. You are the master of the countless universe, and you hold everything to your chest. Your blissful body is very soft. Lord Krishna enjoys pastimes of sleeping on your body. And that same body where Krishna sleeps, That same body I attacked, my dear Lord. Nobody can be more cruel or sinful than me. Parvati and Lord Shiva, with their 900 million maid servants, they are constantly worshipping you. By remembering your transcendental body, one becomes freed from all bondage of material life. And from that same transcendental body, by hitting that pot, I made blood flow from that body. Please forgive me. By serving your body, Chitraketu became the first of the Vaishnavas. I am a great sinner, my Lord. Please forgive me. I attacked the body on whom countless universes are meditating. The great sages of Shaunaka were assembled at Naimisharanya. By serving that body of yours, those sages became free from the bondage of birth and death. By attacking your body, Indrajit ran to his own destruction. This is referring to the avatar of Lakshman. By attacking your body, Dvivida perished. Radhana Swami Maharaj explained that story yesterday. By attacking your body, Jarasandha ran to his death. And that same body I attacked, my dear Lord. How can I be happy? See, this is, we should learn. We are all, we should think we are like Jagai and Madhai and pray like this. By attacking your body, Jarasandha ran to his death. Krishna's brother-in-law, Rukmi, when he insulted you, he had to give up his life. All of you know that story of how Rukmi, and he was playing that game, and although Balaram was winning, but still they were saying that no, Balaram has lost. And finally, Balaram, with his mace, he just smashed on Rukmi's head and killed him. Earlier, Krishna had also punished him by cutting his hair at different places. You know that story. Huh?
Rukmi cut.
Prabhu is saying it's Rukmi cut. You don't have any photographs of that. When they first insulted you, it was Duryodhan and the kinsmen of Hastinapur. By insulting you, they lost their lives. Simply by insulting you, they destroyed themselves. Oh Father, oh Nityananda, please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. Anybody who takes shelter of Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet will never die. You are my maintainer, you are my wealth, you are my life. All glory to the son of Padmavati, all glory to Lord Nityananda, glory to the blissful Lord. Please forgive my offense. I am a cruel outcast. I am an ungrateful, poisonous snake. Please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. Hearing these prayers of Madhai, which are filled with emotion, Nityananda smiled and said, get up, Madhai, get up. You are my servant. I am present in your body. When the small son hits the father, does the father become unhappy? I think your hitting a pot is just like that. Anybody who hears your prayers, he will become devoted to my feet. Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
Nityananda Prabhu ki.
Hari.
You have attained the mercy of my master, Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, I cannot find even a single sesame seed worth of fault in you. Anybody who worships Lord Chaitanya is my life. And you have worshipped Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, you are my life. Anybody who worships me but does not worship Lord Chaitanya, he brings pain to me. After speaking these words, Nityananda embraced Madhai and Madhai became free of all sufferings. And then finally, as Maharaj explained, that Madhai again was weeping and said, my dear Lord, I don't even know whom I have offended. How shall I beg forgiveness? Nityananda Prabhu said, okay, you can build a bathing ghat here. And when the people find it easy to bathe in the Ganga by your building of ghat, they will bless you. Service to Ganga breaks all offenses. And when somebody comes to take bath, you greet them very humbly and bow down to them, and all your offenses will cease. And Madhai circumambulated Lord Nityananda and started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we pray at the lotus feet of Murari Gupta, in whose holy home we are here. This is not his home only 500 years back. He is eternally residing here as all the associates of Mahaprabhu. We pray at his lotus feet that we can develop his mood of servitorship, unalloyed servitorship, and purity just to serve the Lord and sing His glories. Shri Murari Gupta ki jai, Shri Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Now we will go in Kirtan back to the Gada Bhavan for Prasadam.